This is a second area of spiritual blindness. I have to be honest with you. I don't have an abundance of light on this particular lesson and the way I'm presenting it. But I think as I rest in the Lord, He will give me greater light concerning this subject. I think an understanding of this lesson that I'm trying to present will perhaps help us to understand those that we love and care for and where they're at spiritually and maybe why they are where they're at spiritually. When it comes to seeing light, when it comes to being able to see with our eyes, it's very essential that the Lord will be working to give us light by His Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. As we pointed out to you last week, there's all kinds of people when it comes to their eyesight. There are some people that just can't see. And there are some people who see, but they don't see clearly. They sort of see. And there are people in our world who just refuse to see. People who deny the light of God, who deny having any vision to see spiritual things. So we meet all kinds of people, and then unfortunately there are some people that we meet and they contend that they can see. And sometimes I think probably the most difficult people for us to reach out to are those that are convinced, well, I see. I understand how things fall into place. I understand. I have my view concerning God and spiritual things. And sometimes they're the most difficult people to deal with. And then there are those people who have been so guided by who they look to for spiritual leadership that they don't see and they just don't realize it. Because there are spiritual leaders who are just bad physicians when it comes to setting up someone with the proper eyeglasses. And so we live in a day and age when there are men who think that they're helping people to see when the only thing they're doing is clouding their vision and making things worse. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, we see something very interesting which perhaps catches us off guard just a little bit. In verse 38 of John chapter 12, we read this, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Here is a time, here is a group of people that have had their eyes blinded. Notice that as they have had their eyes blinded, they have also had their hearts hardened, so that they should not see with their eyes, and so they should not understand with their heart and be converted. There are times when God Himself has allowed Israel not to see. There has been a purpose in not allowing Israel to see, which we will look at as this lesson continues. But one of the things that I'm touched by, and I don't know that I can make it perfectly clear to you, but it appears that they are not blinded and their hearts are not hardened until they've already made a decision in verse 38 not to believe. Who hath believed our report, Isaiah says? Well, the answer to that is no one has. We have tried to take the message to the Israelites, and they have not believed us. And because they have not believed us, I have allowed their eyes to be blinded and their hearts to be hardened. And so what I'm trying to express in this message is very important. It does seem that those who cannot see, whose eyes are blinded, are also those who first of all chose not to believe. God is not in the business of blinding people so they cannot see. God doesn't allow blindness into a person's life until a person decides, I refuse to believe. So some of the people, some of our loved ones, our family and our friends, the people that we work with, can't see because they've chosen not to believe. And somehow by a movement of God's Spirit, as he works in my heart and in your heart to create a faith and a belief, then God gives to us also the ability to see. It's unique, it's rich, and it's wonderful. Now, keeping in mind that we're also implying Israel here, look at Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, in verse 7, again, we're speaking of Israel, and we read this. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Please note here, there is an elected people. These are the people that are genuinely going to come to Christ. They're going to know him. They're going to meet him with him. But Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh. Israel has not found that. Israel has not chosen to believe. And therefore, there's a spirit of slumber. The eyes that they should not see, and the ears, though they are not to hear. In verse 10, look at that. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Their back is going to bow over with the sin and the heaviness. Let their eyes be darkened. And we look at this, and we try to comprehend this. Why would this be allowed? Well, there again, it appears to be people who refuse to believe, who do not want to believe, the Jewish people who do not want to receive the Messiah who's coming. And then we read in verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall Salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, on the one hand, we want to look at Israel and say, my goodness, there's so many Jewish people that are not open to receiving Christ. They have not chosen to believe in the Christ. Is that because God is trying to get them to stumble? What we read in verse 11 is, God forbid, God doesn't want them to stumble. The whole reason, the whole purpose of them not seeing right now is that salvation could come to the Gentiles. The gospel of Christ is now able, now has free course to come to anyone who is not a Jew. The salvation for us through our belief and through our eyes having been opened is ours to see and ours to enjoy. Look at verse 25 in the same chapter. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Here we find, again, clarifying that the reason Israel right now has blindness, the reason Israel cannot see, is so that this gave an opportunity for the gospel, the fullness of Christ, to come to those of us who are not Jewish. And then in verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Now, I know it's difficult maybe to focus in and follow all of this through, but notice clearly that according to verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Again, we see that the blindness of their hearts was the direct result of not believing God. Now, why is all of this so important to you and I? Because when we set Israel aside, and we're not focusing on Israel, but maybe just focusing in on our friends, focusing in on our family, there are some people who don't see spiritually because they have made up their mind not to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. It appears that the darkness doesn't come before the choice of not believing. So what we need to pray for when we're concerned about our family and our friends and the folks that we come into contact with is that they will, by the Spirit and movement of God, choose to believe. There was one person who said, when it was coming to healing, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. We need to pray that those that we care about will believe, and in believing will be given light to see, that the blindness in their lives will be taken away. Jesus Christ, you know, didn't come to damage us. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to make it so we could see. It's interesting to point out to you Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 39. In the Gospel of John 9, verse 39, there we read, for judgment I am come into this world that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be blind. This goes back to what we were saying earlier, and that is the people who say they can see are generally the people who miss Christ, because they go into all kinds of other different areas in this world. And so the Lord said, not here necessarily that he's trying to bring judgment, but the fact that he does bring judgment. They which see might not see, and they which say they are blind will see. The gospel comes clearly and shines brightly to those who say to God, I wish I could see, but I can't. I wish I could understand, but I can't. I'm blind. And guess what? Those are the people that God brings to himself by his Spirit. Because they came humbly before God and they said, I just can't see. I'm blind. And then the Spirit of God begins to move. But for all of those confident people who say, I understand life. I see it. I understand about life. I have my own view. They're the ones that never see. They're the ones that never come to him. So we all must be willing to say, Lord, I just can't see. I need you to open my eyes. Now we know from the Word of God that Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But when you make a choice not to receive Christ, judgment comes. Not necessarily that he wanted it to come. He's done everything to keep judgment from coming. Now as we begin to close this, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You should read verses 1 through 4 because they're all very precious and wonderful, but we're going to zero in just on verse 4. In verse 4, we read this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, this has not been the easiest lesson for me to try and put together and present to you, but it was the lesson that I believe the Lord laid upon my heart. And I think verse 4 drives it home, because verse 4 makes it clear that the people that Satan blinds are the people that have already chosen not to believe. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you choose by the Spirit of God to believe, Satan cannot blind your eyes. You will see. God will bring you light, and you will be able to see. But you will work with people who can't see. They can't understand. You will have family members in your home whose minds are blinded because they made a choice not to believe. Now, when I try to come to an end of this lesson, if you make a choice not to believe, does that mean the choice has forever been made? I think not. I think those are the people that we need to continue to pray for. That at some point in time, by the light of God's Word, and by the light of the Holy Spirit, they will come to the place where they do believe. And then God moves into their hearts and minds and gives them light so that they see. Now, that in essence presents the message that I want to present to you, but I kind of wanted to read with you, and if you'll look at it with me also, Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, and it is concerning Israel, and it kind of amazes me, but it is a movement of God here, and it so wonderfully shows the world that we live in today. But in Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 16, we have a certain man that wants to put on a great supper. And he just wants everybody to come and eat with him. And it's free. Just show up. We're having a marvelous potluck. And so in verse 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. And he bade many in, he invited them in, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. For all these things are now ready. And here is the invitation of the gospel. Here is an opportunity to receive Christ. Everything is ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make an excuse. Our world is full of excuses as to why we can't connect to God, as to why we cannot come to Christ. We're busy. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I go to test them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so the servant came, and he showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So all of these folks had the free opportunity to come to a free meal, to receive the gospel. But they had too many things going in their lives. They didn't have time for that. They didn't have time for coming to this free supper. And that truly is the world we live in. Our world is full of excuses as to why I have no time to read the Word. I have no time to gather together with Christians, no time to worship God. I've got too many things in my life. And though it breaks my heart to say this, I know many a believer who one tiny little thing can come into their life, and what's the first thing that goes? They can't make it to fellowship with the Lord's children. They can't get to church. They've got all kinds of excuses. And I will share this with you. If there is some reason in your mind that expresses why you can't go to church, I'll guarantee you, the enemy will make sure that that's exactly the thing that comes into your life to keep you from going to church. If it's weather, he can send a storm. If it's a headache, he can send a headache. That is the working of the enemy to prevent us from coming. And our world is full of excuses. And I'm not talking about you. Some of you might feel guilty. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the world, the society that we live in. No one has time to come to him. And so he says, listen, the ones that I bid, they got too many things going. They can't come. So here's what I want you to do. Go out and get the poor. Go out and get the handicapped, the maimed, the halt, the blind, and bring them to me. And they went out and did that, and they said, look, there's still room. There's still room. Well, then go out to the highways and the hedges and the byways and compel them that my house might be filled. Now, the majority of this is all talking about Israel. And Israel had excuses, and Israel didn't come to God. And so God took the marvelous gospel to us Gentiles. And so we get to enjoy Christ, and we get to enjoy salvation. Our world is so full of excuses that it burdens our hearts. So be careful. Guaranteed, if there's a reason in your mind as to why you can't make it to the Lord, the enemy will make it sure that that's what comes into your life to keep it from happening. And I'm not just talking about going to church. Please understand me. I'm talking about getting to the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, our world is so busy. We have so many things to do, so many things that are important, that we have allowed the world and the things we do to squeeze you out of our lives. Please forgive us. Please help us. Please yield to your Spirit. Help us to be ready and prepared to meet with Christ. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.